This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
Nearly 2 weeks ago, a Muslim woman was attacked in the Flemington Park area of eastern Toronto. This occurred several days after a mosque was burned in Peterborough, Ontario, and another mosque in Kitchener was vandalized. These and many other assaults have occurred in the wake of the terrorist attacks in Paris 2 weeks ago. And those recent attacks in Paris, along with Baghdad and Beirut, occurred in the wake of the wars of aggression in Syria, Afghanistan, and Iraq. Thorncliffe Reach Out Teach-In is a community group in the Toronto area. Last weekend, they held a rally against Islamophobia. Zabia Afzal has been an activist since immigrating from Pakistan nearly 20 years ago. Currently, she's a PhD student at York University. She's also the co-founder of the Thorncliffe Reach Out Teach-In community group. And she joins us on the phone from Toronto. Hello, Zabia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Start by telling us a little bit more about some of the incidents, the recent incidents that sparked the rally you held last weekend.
I think you mentioned quite a few of them. There was, of course, the burning of the mosque. Even a mandir was attacked. The windows were broken. Within Toronto, we saw that lots of women on the TTC, the Toronto Public Transit System, they were being attacked. And in Flemington, too, there was that one attack against the woman who went to pick up her children from the public school. She was approached by two white men who attacked her from behind, screamed a number of things at her, telling her to go back home to her country, and then ripped off her hijab and punched her in the stomach. So this was the lead up to the rally that we organized.
Now, I mentioned, of course, this was in partially in response to the attacks in Paris a couple of weeks ago, but I was also wondering what sort of effect did the so-called debate about the niqab during the last federal election, what influence that may have had?
Well, I think the way that the election debates occurred, the way that the Harper government tried to use the niqab issue to gain popularity, especially amongst more of the racist sections of the country, it had the effect of ripping up Islamophobia, right? It is partly responsible for the attacks that we are seeing right now against Muslim women because their niqab is seen as a threat to the Canadian identity. It is seen to be complicit in the terrorist attacks that we are seeing, that we have seen in Paris, for example. So I think it has shaped the perception of the Canadian public. And I think in part also Muslim women have resisted that kind of narrative. They have said that they don't see the niqab as a sign of oppression. They have said that they do not agree that their religion is anti-woman. And so I think it's partly the election and the moves made by the Harper government, but also the resistance on the part of Muslim women, which has challenged that narrative, that racist narrative, that I would say is leading to this kind of violence that we are seeing, this gendered violence that we've seen.
Now, it's important to emphasize that Islamophobia in Canada is hardly new. Tell us a little bit about the history of Islamophobia. I'm thinking in particular about a mosque in the Toronto area back in 1995.
So what happened is in 1995, the community members, and this is a community that is largely made up of Muslims from South Asian countries, so they said that we need a prayer space here. And they approached the politicians to have that mosque constructed, but there was a lot of resistance from within the community against that, and there was just a rise in Islamophobic sentiment. It was very difficult for them to have that mosque constructed. And for a lot of the Islamophobes who were protesting against this, they said that it's actually just parking disputes, right? That they just, it's going to cause parking issues in the community and has nothing to do with Islamophobia, but that was parking disputes were just being used as a pretext to prevent the formation of a perhaps more organized religious Muslim community in the area.
What sort of a neighborhood is Thorncliff, Flemington? Like, where in Toronto is it, and who are the sorts of people who live in the area?
Yeah, so Thorncliff and Flemington are two working class communities in Toronto. It's in the east end of Toronto, and they're part of Ward 26. And Ward 26 really is two different wards, and you might as well see them as like two different worlds, right? In contrast to Thorncliff and Flemington, you've got Leaside and Bennington, which is a wealthy, predominantly white community of homeowners. And, you know, you look at every measure of well-being. You look at income, employment, housing, children's education, health, and you see that the Leaside community has is doing much better. It has the upper hand, while Thorncliff and Flemington residents, who are living in high-rise buildings and in social housing, they're suffering. Right. So in Thorncliff in particular, you have 20,000 people who are living in 3 square kilometers. A large number of them are South Asian immigrants, a considerable proportion of them, they're from Pakistan. Many are unemployed, they're underemployed, they're overeducated and overqualified, but somehow still, you know, when they try to get work in Canada, they're told that they don't have enough Canadian experience. Many of the people we know in the community, they're working multiple jobs, and they can't afford adequate housing. And are dealing with all kinds of issues with parasitic and exploitative landlords, right? So it is in this context where they're responding to phobia, which and the attack on that Muslim woman in particular, who went to the public school to pick up her kids, that was seen by many residents as an assault on their dignity, right? Because they're having to battle, I guess, class oppression in daily lives, and you know, incidents like this really just make them feel an acute sense of injustice in Canada.
Tell us a little bit about your group, the Thorncliff Reach Out Teach-In Community Group. How did it start, and what sort of work, beyond just the organizing the rally, what work do you do?
Yeah, so Thorncliff Reach Out Teach-In, it's a group that's actually been around for only 2 years now. It's an autonomous, independent community organization. Many of us who are involved in it, we were previously involved with other groups in the community, trying to organize tenants against landlords. But Thorncliff Reach Out Teach-In Group, it is largely focusing on putting together a Serve the People program. We have a free learning center, which we have every Sunday. Partly to address the issues that parents are feeling about students not being taught properly in local schools. So this group, through the tutoring program, we connect with a lot of residents and we hear about their concerns and we try to bring them together to address those concerns as a community. So it is actually through that program that we heard about the family who was affected by the attack on the Muslim woman in outside of Grenoble. So once we heard about that, we realized that a rally was really necessary. And, you know, this is a community-based group that is offering a community service, right? It's providing a service, but at the same time, it's a political organization. And we very much are opposed to injustice, and we want to see the kind of unity in the community that would allow for a transformation in the living, learning, and working conditions of those residents. So this rally would be just one part of the kind of work that we do.
You're describing Thorncliff Flemington is very much a working class area of Toronto. A lot of economic pressures, I guess, on the people with high unemployment, social pressures. I'm wondering, how does the neighborhood you're in influence the work that you do through the group, and maybe how you even look at the issue of Islamophobia?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the issue of Islamophobia, right, it's becoming something that residents are finding it hard to ignore, right? There was something familiar but also different about the wave of Islamophobia that we saw following the Paris attacks. Racism in general is not something that's new to the residents, but I think the attack on Muslim women was something that shocked some of the residents. And I think some have said to us in the organization that that was a mistake that the racists have made, because Thorncliffe and Flemington, right, they're two communities that are working class, but they're also held together by women very much. Women are the backbone. They're the uniting force of these communities. And they're also the people who are running the program, the learning center that I mentioned, and the Thorncliffe Reach Out Teaching Group. They are the main organizers of that group. So when we've heard about the attacks on Muslim women and heard about that attack in particular in Flemington, residents in Thorncliffe did approach us and said that something needs to be done. So they did the outreach, right? They got the community mobilized. So they were very much central to this action.
Now tell us a bit about the actual rally last weekend. How did it go? Who showed up?
We were fortunate to have a lot of allies from around the city come. Many residents from Thorncliffe and Flemington were also there. Many who did not come at the same time because they were also afraid. There had been a separate peace march that had been organized by a community service provider, which is funded by Citizenship and Immigration Canada. And they wanted to set a different kind of tone and put out a message of peace, whereas we were trying to put out a message of justice, right? And so that had the effect of dividing the community, unfortunately. But the rally itself, I think many people were very moved by it. They felt that a sincere expression of solidarity was there, especially solidarity with the indigenous community, right? We had an indigenous speaker who came and put out a very strong message to Muslim immigrants and refugees, welcoming them, right, making them feel welcome, especially as when a lot of racists are telling them to go back home. So that expression of solidarity, I think many people took away as an important part of the rally. I would say about 400 people showed up. But, I mean, these rallies, they're important in terms of getting people out and even in terms of the political education that can be done through them and sending a message to the wider public. But TRT is very much interested in the background hard work that is done by the organizers to engage the residents of these working-class communities in discussions about the issues that are impacting them, right, through our learning center. So I think that the success of the rally really is going to be measured by what we are able to do in its aftermath. And we are consolidating in its aftermath and trying to mobilize the energies and the influx of interest that has been shown in the work. Hopefully it will allow us to take the work forward in a meaningful way.
You mentioned about the work that still needs to be done. Can you maybe think a little bit further ahead and what more can still be done after this rally?
So what TRT is doing is we're going to be organizing self-defense classes for women in the community. We are already in touch with other organizations which are trying to do similar kind of work through other community centers in the city. So that will be happening in the next few weeks. But In our political education program, we want to think through why we are seeing racism, why we are seeing Islamophobia. What does this reflect? How does this reflect on Canadian society and the Canadian state? Right, draw connections between Islamophobia and imperialism, so that we don't forget the struggles of those brothers and sisters who are being bombed. Because as bad as Islamophobia is, and as much as we are starting to feel fearful and frustrated and angry with the attacks here, we need to be able to put that into perspective. So those broader discussions definitely need to be held, and we're hoping to facilitate that in the coming weeks.
Well, it's a very important issue, and I appreciate the great work that you're doing out there in Toronto, and thanks very much for speaking with me, Zabia.
Thank you for having me.
I've been speaking with Zabia Afzal. She's a PhD candidate in the Health Policy and Equity Program at York University. She's also the co-founder of the group Thorncliffe Reach Out Teach In. You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, 100.5 FM, and streaming live at cooperadio.org.